Today's reading is from Isaiah 65 to Isaiah 26. It's new heavens and a new earth. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought of a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not toil in vain, or be our children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy it on my holy mountain, says the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Feels a little bit like we're getting into the Advent season because Isaiah is the prophet that we most often read and hear from during that time. And Isaiah is a rather long book. Actually, it's a very long book. It divided really into three sections. And in this particular section, Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel who have been conquered, who have been taken away, and who are very much in need of hope. He uses some of the same kind of language that we see later in John's message in Revelation, which is also directed to people who are in need of hope, people who are suffering from oppression and persecution. He starts out this passage with words that we hear in both places: I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth, all things new, everything new, just going to start from scratch. And Isaiah goes on to describe how wonderful this is going to be. And he uses words like glad and joy and delight and rejoice. And then he goes on to say what's not going to be in this new heaven and new earth. No more weeping. No more infants dying too soon. No more old people dying too soon. And then he goes on to say what else is not going to happen. You won't be building houses and somebody else inhabit them. You're not going to be planting vineyards and somebody else eat the fruit. This sounds a lot like what we heard recently from Jeremiah. And that's because this was the reality for these people. This is where they were. They were weeping. There were people dying. There were houses that they had to abandon. There were fields that they had to leave behind. But he goes on to say, my people, my chosen, shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. They shall labor. Work is good, but they shall not labor in vain. And finally, he ends with this vision of peace and harmony that we hear elsewhere from the same prophet. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. And the holy mountain is the new earth reaching up to the new heaven, which in John's vision actually comes down to earth. So he's giving these words of hope and promise and joy to people who very much need it. just as John does later, much later, because John is talking to the Christians who are being persecuted by the Romans. That's what his vision is about. And it's a very similar vision. We have consistency from the ancient prophet Isaiah to the much more recent John and his vision. So the promise is that although things don't look good now, there's going to be better. There's going to be good news in the future. The best is yet to come. Just hang on. Be faithful. Stay ready. There are others. We could relate to this. We can relate to this. We've all been through these times when we wonder if it's really worth it. Because things are bad. It seems like things just keep going wrong. And things seem to get worse and worse and worse. That's not everybody's experience all the time. There are people who are pretty content with the way things are going because whatever their circumstances are, they suit them pretty well. And in those cases, they might not be so eager for change because, you know, change might threaten their comfort. We hear something like that in our gospel reading for this morning. It's from Luke 29, and there are people who are busily admiring the temple. Now, this is a rebuilt temple, just keep that in mind, but here it is. It is huge. It has these massive stones, maybe something along the lines of the Sagrada Familia Basilica that Claudia and David just got to see. It's just this magnificent structure. It's just as good as it gets. And they're pointing that out to Jesus as if he didn't know. But his response to that is, this too shall pass. And in fact, it did in the not so distant future from when they were speaking. And what he says is, yes, this is good. Yes, this is beautiful. Yes, this is wonderful. And there's more and there's better still to come. Even though, he says, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It is going to get better. But in the meantime, it's going to go worse because this is the way our lives go. And sometimes we feel like we're in this place for a long time. The promise is, this too shall pass. The best is yet to come. Everything that we see, whether it's good or whether it's bad, and we hope it's good, and we pray that it's good, and we work to make it good, and we work to relieve the suffering of those who are worse off than us, and we work to make things better for others. But all of this will not last forever. It may last for a long time. But everything that you see, Jesus says to the admirers of the temple, is going to be thrown down. It's going to collapse. Now that's a sad and a scary thing. I mean, we've seen things that are wonderful collapse and be destroyed. And that's sad. The promise is it's going to be renewed. The promise for God's people in the past, and in the more recent past, and in the present, and in the future, is that whatever the current situation, the best is yet to come. And the best is going to be beyond our imagination. Most people are looking at the temple. They're looking at something that they can't imagine could be any better. And yet, they will see something better. Maybe they saw something better even then. The best is yet to come, and it will be beyond our imagination. And that is God's promise for all of God's people, whenever and wherever they are, and in whatever circumstances. The other thing that Jesus has to say in Luke's gospel is, be ready. Know that these things are happening and be ready, not by preparing a great speech. I guess he was talking to the preachers. But don't prepare what you're going to say ahead of time. Persecutions are going to come. Trials are going to come. Don't think now about what you're going to say. Just live your best life now. And when that time comes, he says, I will give you words and I will give you wisdom that comes from your experience and my presence with you. The best preparation that we can make for the future is to live our best lives in the present. May God give us strength to be one of those saints that we honored last week, one of those soldiers that we honor this week, and to keep doing our best for everybody's best, so that we will all experience the best, which is yet to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.